Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Today I'll be reading 1 John 3:16 to 20. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Oh, that's beautiful, right? He knows everything.
Check, check. Are we good? We had difficulty with my microphone last week, so I'm wearing a second one. Well, we get the first one fixed. Just want to make sure it all works. Well, today is Thanksgiving Sunday, as we've been saying. And often, I move from our series to a psalm or something like that during Thanksgiving. But I thought today with Thanksgiving and the text that we have, there's a word here in 1 John 3 that I think is appropriate for us in terms of receiving God's goodness and then passing that on to others. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we are indeed mindful how God has blessed us, and then secondly, hopefully how we can be intentional in passing on some goodness to others in practical ways. So that's the invitation today, in spite of whatever challenges we're facing. So 1 John 3. So it falls into three units. And there is a lovely bit here, as Marjorie was saying, but begins with this: we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. So we've been working through 1 John, and here we are coming to this section in the middle of 3rd chapter. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. So the his is referencing Jesus and what he's done. It's interesting that in the Greek language, just there are all kinds of tenses that we don't have in the English. So one of them is this perfect tense. And so it actually reads, we have known love by this. And which is significant because the perfect tense points back to a past action, but the reality of that past action continues on into the present. That's the idea of the perfect. So it's not just a past, an aorist, or an imperfect, which looks back. It's looking back, and then that carries on. So that's very specific in the language. So when it says, we have known love, we have known. We look back to Jesus' love and sacrifice for us. That's pointing back to the cross, his sacrificial gift of himself for you and for me. We look back to that, but the impact of that carries on. So the impact carried on in the days of John. He's writing a generation after Christ. Jesus' work on the cross continues on in his day, but it continues on all the way into our day. Perfect tense. And it will indeed carry on for till Christ returns himself. So it's past action with ongoing impact. So it's I think an interesting idea, and why John uses it right here. He makes a point of that. So if you are somebody who, you know, marks up your Bible, you know, in red ink or whatever, one might just underline that. We have known love. Because it does say something more than just the way we would read it typically in the English. Jesus laid down his life for us. We note that there aren't a lot of details here. There is no reference to the cross. It's just simply a statement. Jesus laid down his life. So it's looking back to the person and the work of Jesus. Because John's going to go on and say that, hey, we need to be giving to one another in very practical ways. Sharing good, sharing even money with one another. But it's based on this great work that Jesus has done for us. On the cross for you and me. He laid his life down for us. That's what that verse is all about in verse 16. So it doesn't go into detail, but it's laying out the paradigm. The paradigm of love for John is Jesus' work on the cross. That's the great paradigm. So we are called to sacrifice, not simply to be, you know, kind, generous people, you know, good men and women, good mates, but we're called to share because of what Jesus has done for us. And so as this commentator Law says, love is the giving impulse. Christ gave for you and for me. And so we are invited to give to one another. So that's all going on here in verse 16. So in light of that then, we are called to imitate Jesus, second part of 16b. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Jesus has done this. Now we're called to imitate. And so we're reminded then that love is not simply a sentimental emotion. It's not just a feeling. That's not what agape love is. It's more than that. It can be a feeling. But it's more than that sensation that you might experience if you are in love with someone. You're falling in love with someone. There's an emotion there. But the agape love is this intentional choice, intensely practical. Can we show that love for one another? That's where John begins in verse 16. So having said that, we go on here more practically what it means. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? You see the word abide there again. That's a favorite word of John in the gospel and in his epistles. We looked at that last week, abide. The NIV translates it remain. How can we say we remain in God's love, we abide in God's love, if we don't help out practically people in need? And particularly here, the text for John is always focusing on the actual church family, when we see a brother or sister in need. Again, that doesn't mean we're not concerned for others outside of the church family, but for John, he's thinking particularly here. If you and I see a brother or sister in need and do zip, do diddly squat, do zero, then John say, well, he says, well, how is God's love in us if that's where we're at? So that's what verse 17 is saying. So love is not to be just admired, but copied. So not copied in laying down your life, and we don't always have opportunities where you're going to lay down your life as Jesus has done. But how do we give practically, day to day, in your day and day, in my day and day, how do we give? Notice the NRSV. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods? That's the word bios, has life. That's what it translates, life. Life meaning just life in the here and now. Life in practical ways. You have some money, you have some ways to help others, and we don't do it. That's life. That's that word bios, translated here, world's goods. So on Thanksgiving Sunday, we're invited, okay, practically, how do we assist and help others? If we don't do that, then we're putting a barrier up. Again, the Greek language is more dramatic than the English. We shut our hearts. When we don't help others, and we can, the Greek actually says we shut our hearts. We close down. We put a barrier up between us and them. We just shut down, close our hearts. That's what John's saying. So if we see needs and we're not helping, then we're shutting our heart down. We look away. We don't think about it. Or we're indifferent. Or we just forget. I referenced last week the series Pachinko. And Beth and I have been watching it. Very good series. And there comes an episode where an older man is confronted with his past, and he was a Japanese soldier, and towards the end of the war, they were given orders to kill all of their prisoners of war that they had, and there were almost 200 of them. Just kill them. And he's trying to explain his actions to a woman friend, an older woman sitting with him. And he says, well, we were giving the orders. And so I followed through in the orders, and we killed these people. We just slaughtered them. And then he says, but then we were given a second order. And the second order was, just now forget it. Forget it. You've done that deed, and now we're ordering you, just forget it. Put it out of your mind. And so he's now lived many years, and he says, well, that's what I've done. I've just forgotten it. But now it's coming to surface. And he doesn't feel very good about it. And the woman at that point withdraws from him. They have a friendship. Just forget it. Well, you know, at times we do that in terms of worldly goods. We see needs, we see issues where we could help, and we just kind of turn away and we forget it. We assume someone else will help. Don't we do that? Someone else will pick it up. Someone else has got more than I've got, so hopefully they'll help. Meanwhile, I can just kind of close the door and forget it. That's what I mean, think in terms of putting a barrier between us and others, shutting our hearts down. We can shut our hearts down towards family, shut our hearts down towards friends, shut our hearts down towards neighbors. Certainly in the community, we can shut our hearts down. Jesus has done all this for us, and then we don't imitate, right? We don't follow through. So there's actually three steps laid out in here in verse 17. You'll see it. Number one, you see the person's need. So it's all kind of very specific and emphasized in the text. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees? So it means we see the need. We recognize there is a need. So we see it. Secondly, we have the world's goods. We have the capacity to actually help. And then thirdly, yet refuses. We do nothing. So that's the three steps that are laid out by John. We see, we have the capacity, but we do nothing. And so obviously in the first century, in the church that John is about, and I've mentioned that it's probably the church in Ephesus, one of the churches in Ephesus, this big city, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, there are people in need, lots of people in need. And people in the church had the resources to help but weren't. John speaks to that reality. So the point is then that we are to not do that, right? We're not just going to skip away. We are to help presently, in present needs. Not laying your life down because you're not being called to lay your life down, but we are called to help out in practical ways in lesser areas. So we see the Good Samaritan as an example, right? Good Samaritan comes along. There is a need. The two clergy people who come before him walk to the other side of the street and go around and keep on their way because they're too busy, they feel. And the Samaritan, who isn't even of that faith tradition, stops and helps out. There is a need, a present need, and he helps. So, how do we help open present needs? So it takes some honest reflection, I think. Because, you know, we're here, we most likely don't have tons, right? Nobody's super wealthy. But we have something. And are there needs in any way? It doesn't always come down to money. It can be very much a call, a letter, a note, a smile. It can be any of that sort of thing. We're expressing some sort of help. There are lots of people who don't need the money, but they could be very lonely and could use some sort of interaction with somebody to do good. Not going there, Shano, sorry. Well, I already referenced that, love abides in us. But let's listen to this statement from James. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So James says the same thing, right? Just calls us out. James is writing to the church in Jerusalem. And there were wealthier people in the church. And there were lots of needy places in Jerusalem. They're called out. Are we helping or not? Sums it up, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So we all know this, right? We hear it. But we can fall asleep. We can hear it and then forget it, just like our friend in Pachinko with something much graver. Not just idle talk, but action. Work. Energy, that's the word there. Will we do that? So Jesus is laid out as the great example. And then we are called, that's verse 16, verse 17, we are called to imitate Jesus in very practical ways. If you see a need, do something about it. Don't look away. That's the calling. And in our day and age, where we're always rushing around and got a million things to do, it's very easy to look away and not help. You know, we're all guilty of that. So we're called to just, okay, pay attention. This Thanksgiving season, we're called to pay attention. Pay attention. Maybe there is somebody this weekend that you can help out in any way, not necessarily money, help, encourage, be with them. So we want to reflect on those ideas. That's verse 17. And verse 18, no idle talk, get engaged. And then it moves to verses 19 and 20, and which is encouraging because it goes like this, and by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. He's saying, if you look back and you are mindful of how you have helped people, then let that be known in your heart because that will help reassure you that you have actually done some good and you've shown some love. That's what verse 19 is saying. And by this, if you've been doing this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Look back. Have you been helping others? Have you been doing that? My mom played the piano down at the men's mission downtown, right in the heart of Jarvison and Girard back in the day. And every Tuesday night, went down there for the mission and played the piano. That's what she did. I used to go down there with her. Every night, every Tuesday, for like 10 years she did it. Just a little act. Well, actually bigger than a little act. It took time. She was working all day, Simpsons, then had to go back town to do this. 10 years. Okay, then look back on that. All right, that was something. I mean, I don't ever remember my mother thinking that way. But John is saying that that's not a bad thing to do. Think back, because that will encourage your heart, whatever it is for you. But points to verse 20. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So what's going on then? So at times we have questions. As I said, verse 19, then look. Note the accuser will accuse you. So we're saying, hey, all right, I look back, and you know what? I haven't done very good on this. I haven't been as giving as I should be. And my heart actually starts critiquing me. You can feel some critique. You can feel worn down, doubts. Have I done what John is asking me to do? Am I following the modeling of Jesus? So my heart can begin to condemn me. And the accuser, the devil, will definitely jump on you for that. You call yourself so great. Well, look at you. Look at your history. What's it like? Our hearts can critique us. But the beauty here is that verse 20, God sees it and God knows our hearts and our intentions and is bigger than how we condemn ourselves. It's a lovely verse in verse 20. Whenever our hearts condemn us, because they probably will somewhere along the line, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So it's saying God knows. God knows in your intentions. You might have had intentions to help out, to make a difference. But for some reason it didn't happen. Well, God knows. God understands that. He sees deeper into ourselves than we ourselves do. God is a God of grace, a God of mercy. He is kind, much more kind to us and to others than we are with one another. God isn't holding this long grudge against us or bitterness. God sees and understands. He knows we are weak. Isn't that what the Bible says? He knows we are flesh. He knows we are dust. He knows all of that. And so it's a verse that should encourage us. God is there for you and for me, and he knows when we screw up, when we didn't do necessarily what we should have done. Could be in any kind of dynamic. Care for others. Care for our pets. Have we done what we could do? Or did we turn away? Oh, all of that. So it's a statement of how strong God is for you and for me. I hope we can hear that. John Stott, Beth and I had a chance to study with years ago, he says, stronger than any chemical tranquilizer is trust in our all-knowing God. Trust. Keep that strong. Trust. I am trusting in God who knows my weaknesses, knows that, and is there for me. Trust. Jesus laid down his life in the past, and the impact of that carries on into the future, so John says. So hang on to that. Find confidence in that, encouragement in that. So where we got? Well, going forward, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. Verse 16 says, we have a lot to be thankful for because Jesus died for us. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Be encouraged by that reality, verse 16. Verse 17, well then, you do good to others. You pass it on. Pay it forward. You've heard that kind of statement, right? I don't know. Have you ever been in a Tim Hortons? I've never had this, but I hear it happens. You're in line in a Tim Hortons, and the guy in front of you pays for you and says to the person doing that, the cash, I've just paid for whoever's behind me, and they get it free. I don't know. Tamara, have you ever heard that? I've heard it, but I haven't experienced it, right? I would like to experience that. But it's the idea. You pay it forward. I've been helped somewhere, and now, you know, I'm going to help this person who's behind me in Tim Hortons. Ah, that's just a little action, right? That's not, but if that happened to you, that would be a bit of a smile. Sasha, don't you think? Yeah, it happened to Sasha? Cool, man, see? He gets it, he understands it. Get a donut, right? Yikes, perfect. There's nothing wrong in terms of looking at yourself. How have I helped others? Yes, be encouraged, that's verse 19. Do what we can, practically, in small ways. I heard a story this week. We have folk here who, you know, who volunteer at Waze up the street. Remember, Waze was behind us in our building at Frontlines for 20 years or more. Now it's up the street, Central United. They've got bigger facilities. It's nicely laid out. And a number of you volunteer, but my buddy Rob on sound, he volunteers there every week, several days. And so I asked him if he minds me reading this, but they received a letter at Waze, somebody giving thanks for the service, all right? And I don't read the whole letter, but the chap goes in there and he's, you know, he speaks well, he engages well, and he's impressed by how he's treated with respect and kindness there. So he takes the time to write a letter. And then in it, he says this: I also want to say thank you to the frontline staff that are handing out the food and keeping everything organized and running smoothly. Your smiles and asking, how are you doing, goes a long way and does more than you will ever know. He says, in addition, I want to add a specific thank you to an extremely kind gentleman back there that has curly hair and always made me feel welcomed and that I was human and not just a beggar. I don't know his name, but I am sure that everyone knows him with his incredible smile and gentle demeanor. Rob. Now, he gets embarrassed with me reading that. But that's a kind action making a difference in our area of Weston. There's lots of bad stuff or negative stuff going on in Weston, right? We read about it in the papers. But there's also kind stuff, helping out in practical ways. I mean, I like this line. He always made me feel welcomed and that I was a human and not just a beggar. I don't know his name, but I'm sure everybody knows him with his incredible smile and gentle demeanor. So that is what this text is talking about. So, I mean, Rob is retired, right? Rob could do whatever heck he wants. So he doesn't have to spend 3 days a week spending several hours each time at the food bank. I mean, he doesn't have to do that. He could be doing whatever he wants to be doing. But he's doing it. And that's the invitation for us. So it's Jesus has made a difference in our lives. We are very mindful of that. And now I want to pass that on in whatever way I can. Sometime in the future, who knows, you might have to do something very dramatic for someone else. Lay down your life in some sense. But until then, we are invited to practically just show some kindness and love. And if we all do that together, the world really does become a better place. If we are all doing it. And that's the invitation in this text on this Thanksgiving Sunday. May we be mindful and may we be helpful. Whatever way that is, in your work, in your apartments where you live, someone, just a smile can change it all, right? Remember back, I lived in a condo, in a building with my parents on Don Mills Road for a while. We lived downtown, then we moved up there. And I remember our neighbor, who was of a different ethnicity. This is back in the day when, you know, whatever. We were WASPs, right? Anyway, the neighbor says to us, you know, would you like to come in for a drink? And my dad was a temperance guy, right? Doesn't drink any alcohol. So I immediately say, we don't drink. I'm like 15, you know, we don't drink. And she says to me, you don't drink water? You don't drink anything? I immediately go to alcohol. She's just saying, you don't drink anything? I say, oh, yeah, we drink water. Yeah, we drink water, right? And we went in, and we got to know our neighbor a little bit, and that was, she was reaching out, and she was trying to just engage us, and immediately I'm putting up my barrier, right? I'm shutting things down. But she was able to press through that, and we established some sort of relationship. So how do we do that? How do you do that? May we take it seriously. May we be mindful of Jesus for you, for me, and then want to pass that on to others. For Christ's sake.